Libra, and welcome to part two of Cosmophilia. You belong here. So, the upshot of all of those transits, most of which are still current, and the ones that aren't still current are recent enough in memory to still be shaping your worldview. The gist of them all is being more confidently yourself. These transits are all kind of like existential confrontations that force you to be more clearly who you are. It's a little like traveling. When you travel, you are constantly confronted by everything unfamiliar, and when you're surrounded by unfamiliar things, you tend to have to, in a sense, compensate for that by grounding more solidly in yourself. And so things like your self-concept have basically been erased or completely reworked. Your security base, complete rethinking of what it means to be safe and to belong. Relationships, no prefabricated concept of stability or form that you can, expect to always be there is going to work, but in the alternate, there is an immediacy, a spontaneity in your relationships, and that is something that reminds you over and over again to solidly come from a centered place inside of you. Now, in terms of the brand new transits for 2015, the ones that are in their first wave of phasing in, I think, personally, that the most vivid one is a minor planet beyond Pluto called Logos coming into your sign. It's been in Virgo for a great many years, and it is a relatively new discovery. It's in the class of planets that are similar to Pluto, but one phase out in the solar system. Astronomers first saw it in 1997. It has a 302-year orbit compared to Pluto, 250, so it's a bit slower. It's in that region where we find basically deities of creation and resurrection. So Logos is one of them. And I think of Logos as being the soul of communication, the soul of technology, the content, the living content within the communication medium, as in the spiritual concept within the framework, the ghost in the machine, as it were. But this is a very intelligent ghost. And when we look at the constellation of transits that you have, in particular something like Uranus in the seventh house, which is confronting you with different situations, with perhaps strange people, exotic people, groups of people, here is where you get to fully embody what I think is one of the best properties of Libra, which is the interpreter, diplomat, translator. And Logos takes you beneath the language. It's almost like a phenomenon of, read these kind of strange stories maybe where, you know, someone is in a faraway place like China. And they're in a region of the country where no one speaks a word of English. But there's some situation where something happens and they're needed to be of assistance. And there's a dialogue and they understand the whole thing, even though it was spoken in a language that they neither speak nor understand. And so Logos, I think, takes us below the form of language into the content of language, in particular the spiritual content of language, and it enforces and buttresses and inspires and instills and all those in words your ability to translate, and you need that. because there is so much about you, first of all, that is different than the people that you're meeting, and there's so much about you that is changing so fast that the ability to put that into words and be able to communicate your ideas to other mortals is going to be one of the most important things that you can actually do for yourself. Now, this shows up in a number of ways. It shows up, for example, in your, well, in your seventh house type relationships and the self-searching of Uranus in Aries and being confronted by people who you have less in common with than you might appreciate. And the ability to communicate with them will open up those relationships. Look at another way, coming from the fourth house perspective, what is the source of your grounding and of your safety? You are identifying all kinds of needs that you did not necessarily know that you had, or that you were not willing to admit, or that were being taken care of in ways that you could take for granted. And then when those ways were no longer present or available, you then had to figure out how to meet those needs yourself. And that requires the ability to speak and to listen. It requires the ability to communicate. There is a retiring quality to Libra. There's a somewhat retreating quality, I think, to Libra that can kind of work as a counterweight to the ability to communicate and the ability to translate, that I suggest you watch for and lean toward the outside a little bit. Your transits, in many ways, are pulling you deeper into yourself, and then certain events on the outside are provoking you out of your shell. So there's this tension between the inward pull and the outer pull, and the inward pull is extremely compelling, and the outer pull can be disruptive. And among the roles of Libra is the mediator, but here you are mediating within yourself. You are mediating between two inner forces in your psyche. I'll give you another example of where translation is going to come in handy. One quality of your chart is a work-related angle, the sixth house, that is based on the abundance of creativity that you have. That is Pisces on the sixth house. And you can be the most creative person in the world, but if you can't get those ideas into a form that other people understand, then basically that creative impetus goes nowhere. There's nothing that you can do with that energy because you can't translate it, you can't turn it into action. And so the ability to translate, the ability to put things into words and concepts, and to utilize technology for that purpose is essential to your being able to tap into your creativity, which is very closely related to the daily work that you do, because the daily work that you do requires you to fully immerse yourself in your creativity. And I would note that if it doesn't, if there is some tension between what you do and what you want to do in terms of the creativity that you apply, or whether you are appreciated for your aesthetics, for example, your ability to relate through the medium of beauty, that is something to look at. And you ultimately are responsible for the allocation of your creative energy. Creativity is as much a gift as it is a responsibility. And your ability to go deep, your ability to see the world in a certain way, and your outstanding talent for aesthetics, whether that's color, form, composition, organization, arrangement, even organization, there is an aesthetics to organization and to having something like workflow not only be functional, but have an elegance to it, is so central to who you are as a person that that is something that you need to put yourself in an environment where you bring that out. Now, this seems to contradict another, let's say, tendency that's developed in your chart in recent years, which is a need for recognition of your importance, a need for a certain measure of community standing, and for, I think, being treated better and with more respect. The problem is that most humans do not recognize that as a valid need. Sometimes some people are influential enough, powerful enough, paying someone enough to be treated as an important person, whether they actually earn that. But I would propose that that is not necessarily a very healthy need to bring to the table. And it's something that I suggest you be conscious of and keep an eye on at all times. And remember that ultimately respect must have a basis, and that it is based on one-on-one encounters with people where they are, in a sense, brought in or made contact with. And so it is vital that you set aside the whole concept of being an important person, and that instead you be someone who is known and understood for a communication ability, for an ability to relate your ideas to others, to hear their ideas, and to move things overall in a more, well, the word that keeps coming up is beautiful, direction. So the idea here is that achievement is not on a vertical plane for you right now. In fact, it's vital that achievement be something that you consider on a horizontal plane, and if there is anything that's going to be on a vertical axis, that that thing be about depth, going down, going deeper in to a situation and understanding what is at the bottom of things. Now, one thing at the bottom of things is yet another image of refining your process of making ideas as a way of sustaining yourself and as a way of growing and increasing the relevance and the participation level of your role. And that story is told in Saturn changing signs from the second house in your chart to the third house, from Scorpio to Sagittarius. This is likely to have a couple of things associated with it. One is that there has likely been a challenge around self-esteem, where you have finally begun to ask the questions about self-esteem, almost all of which involve the need to be deeply enmeshed with the lives of others in order to feel valued and vital. Your entire chart is about basically going beyond that, and the transit of Saturn through Scorpio has been a big part of this, where there has been a kind of an ironing out of any tendencies that you might have had to be over-dependent. I mean, it's interesting how really this chart is basically saying the same thing over and over again. And you are coming into a whole new phase of that, where it's as if you have made enormous strides in getting over the the need to have deep involvement as a means of acknowledging your involvement in someone, in your own sense of standing and value. And it is much easier to live when you don't have to, you know, keep paying homage to that quality, and you really can stand on your own. Now, the work here is not entirely done. There's still a bit left, but what is going to happen, what's happening over the next few days, I'm recording this on the 19th of December, is that Saturn is going to enter your third house. And this is going to have a few different effects, one of which I think is a stabilizing effect on your process of setting goals. It has been difficult for you to really gain the mental clarity that you need. The planets in the house associated with mental clarity have been many, and it is somewhat chaotic, and there have been more than a few, you know, competing factors and various different clashes. At the same time, you know that you are growing in leaps and bounds in your, let's say, connecting mind with soul. One of the big journeys of your lifetime is having your mind always be in accord with your soul, always having an alignment between what you might think of as your personality and what you might think of as the divine element of who you are. And I recognize that a lot of the lack of alignment is a kind of mind trip, an idea can block that sense of alignment, but it is time to be free of all such ideas that block alignment with your deeper humanity, and to essentially become a disciplined thinker. And you may have done that quite a bit, and yet Saturn is saying, okay, now things are going to go, you're going to take things to an entirely new depth. And part of being a disciplined thinker is how you reduce your ideas down to their functional essence. You reduce your ideas down to the core of you know, what they need to be, what you need to express. The most basic moving parts are the thing that you are looking for. And so there's a minimalism that I'm suggesting that you apply, and that rather than ever going overboard with, you know, how many great ideas you have, or taking any one of them to a far extreme, that there be a kind of testing and sampling process that you do, kind of experimentation with what works and what does not work. That the guiding principle needs to be a kind of practicality above all else in whatever form of expressing ideas that might be. It might be writing for the sake of writing. It might be writing for the sake of communicating. It certainly would encounter verbal interactions that you have with people with whom you're involved in some kind of commerce. And there is a grounding that is necessary. And I think that Saturn is going to be very helpful with that grounding. Now, grounding makes a lot more sense. Grounding is a lot easier when there is, when you possess a sense of who you are, because that's the actual thing that you are grounded in. And that sense of who you are has many possible facets, but I think that the most important facet that it has is your understanding the core motivations that drive you. One thing about Saturn in Scorpio has been a real washing out of the laundry and, you know, folding and pressing yourself on the deep question, so rarely raised, of what exactly is it that motivates you? What exactly is it that drives you? And if you look back at your experiences, particularly some of the more challenging ones, and particularly ones where your self-esteem was called on the line, those might have been relationship situations. It might have been a certain phase of the absence of a relationship where you were basically kind of maneuvered down into your core being. That is where you had the full encounter with your values. And what you might think of as the lessons learned in the past 2 years will, as far as I can tell, always have that connection point to a core value discovered. And once you've discovered a core value, then you have the principle of ethics taking place, which is living in harmony with that core value. I think that a reason for much unhappiness on the planet is people living out of accord with their values, making compromises in their core values for the sake of things that are external to them in some way, or where they believe there is going to be some kind of a payoff for the compromise. For you at this stage of your life, it's not going to work very well. It may certainly have worked at other stages, and that can be said of many people who are involved in a growth process where the deeper you get into your values, the more compelling they are to you, the more compelling they must be. That's the whole point of self-discovery. And now comes an expression of those values, a kind of an externalization of those values, and a, you know, reining in of the, let's say, ancillary factors and focusing in on what is essential. I think that any, for example, spiritual belief system needs to have the property of being able to be explained in a few concepts, few basic ideas. A lot of theology is confusing, and the books are too long, and, you know, really, what exactly is the difference between a Lutheran and a Presbyterian in what they believe and how they would guide themselves through life, right? So unless you can get that down to the central idea involved, keep that on your list of things to explore. Few simple, elegant core principles are almost always enough to be able to apply your values to practical situations. And this brings us to ideas that are central to relating to others. There are a number of ways in which the healing facet of life is making itself known as an important factor for you. There are two in particular. That is the concentration that is gathering in Pisces, that concentration including Neptune, Chiron, those especially, the third centaur, Nessus, and a point that is about belief and faith called Borysesi. And the first thing to know about your particular relationship to healing as kind of a lifetime thing is it's very closely associated with your emotional state. There's almost nothing that goes wrong with you. Now, there are some people who would say this about everyone, but I've noticed it's especially true with people with very strong Libra signatures in their chart, and, you know, boldly true in astrological theory, that your emotional, mental, and physical environment pretty much determine how healthy you are. Think of the example of a fish tank. You don't necessarily examine all the fish to find out if the fish are healthy. The first thing you want to check to see how the fish are doing is the water. You want to check the alkalinity and the nitrogen level and the ammonia level and various different factors in the water. And I suggest that you keep testing the water, not merely only by sticking your finger into it, but running an analysis, knowing your environment, and knowing the toxic factors in your emotional environment, and that you be on a continuous path of tidying, cleansing, simplifying, removing factors, removing, for example, chemicals, keeping people who are disruptive and emotionally toxic at bay, or just not being in contact with them, and also scanning your environment for invisible factors. If you ever have a question with your health, it is likely to come back to a mental, emotional, or invisible environmental factor. It will be invisible till you discover it and see it. And you could say that one of the themes of this time in your life is a thorough assessment of your environment. And you're doing that at a time when there are factors in the environment that are somewhat, you know, in a sense, assertively invisible, where there's a kind of a cloak thrown over your environment, and where it will be necessary to use both logic and intuition. You're not going to get at this with any one of those tools. You're likely to need both of them and keep a balance there, and be able to penetrate through the invisibility of your environment to see past what you normally would not see. Okay, and this goes for everything, physical health, psychic health, and especially the health of your creative process, which is essential to your being a balanced, healthy person, and it is very sensitive. You are very sensitive. Things that would not affect others can be profoundly influential for you. Things that might not disrupt others can be disruptive to you. The least emotional disturbance can result in the sensation of a physical sickness of some kind, a not feeling well, being under the weather. And given that, it is going to be very helpful if you treat the mental, psychic, environmental disruption first and not necessarily, you know, assume that something is physically wrong. Okay, next, relationship angle. And we've talked about one part of that relationship angle, which is the presence of Uranus. And there's a diversity of other planets gathering in your seventh house that are going to have a similar flavor as Uranus. In particular, Eris has been there for a long time, and there's a conjunction between Uranus and Eris coming, which is going to have the tendency of, let's say, radically increasing the intensity of individualism of people who are drawn to you. So you're not, as the next few years go on, likely to draw toward you the more conciliatory, compromising types, but rather the more determined, intense, potentially even aggressive types of people who are boldly themselves. And here, by the way, is where the logos factor comes in, of your ability to really make sense of who they are and establish common ground with them, get onto a frequency where you share a common language, and that alone will have a healing property. But that healing property goes on, because despite the fact that the previous, as in childhood, description of who would be the perfect person may be not quite exactly what's showing up in your environment, owing to this sort of surprise factor that's at work all the time, then your role changes. Your role becomes one of, first of all, accessing common ground, and that could be common ground on any level, including, you know, a favorite restaurant that you like to eat at. And the common ground is also going to be essential as the common ground of self-discovery. There really are two kinds of intense people. There are intense people who are self-aware, and there are intense people who have next to no self-awareness. And it would be much easier for you. You would facilitate the flow of your life and the ease and purpose of your life by choosing from among the intense people those who demonstrate self-awareness. And that self-awareness, that inward seeking, becomes common ground. When you can depend on, appeal to, relate from someone else's self-awareness, you have a tremendous advantage over anyone who's not even aware of that or cannot do it at all. And from there, your relationships, particularly where there's a sexual element to your relationships, become these experiments in self-contact. It's not that the relationship is all about you, but rather it is that the properties, the best properties of the relationship, are activated when the quality that the individuals are bringing is a quality of self-connection. And I know this is something of an inversion of, you know, the way relationships are done these days, and the kind of encounter for the with the perfect person and the waiting for the soulmate and all of that stuff. And yet, it doesn't really work that way. I think that the best relationships are relationships that are grounded on people who are grounded in themselves, where there's not this high, you know, over dependency, and where there's not a lot of projection. So basically, you're being taken through this great curve of assimilating all of the, I think, most important aspects of growth and spirituality and relating in a very short period of time. And by a short period of time, I mean that when you look at the change, you're really going to see a massive change in like a 3 to 5 year period, which you are well in the middle of. And so it would be wise to not expect things to ever go back to the way they were, right? To not be thinking, wow, when are things going to get back to normal? But recognize that you've already come through a series of thresholds. You've already been through a great many deepening experiences and a great many experiences that have guided you inward in a way that is not typical. And that from there, the only way to proceed is to go forward into the future rather than back into the past. There are still some vestiges of the past that you can hang on to and hang out with, but those are likely to be changing rapidly. And I think that their main purpose is to understand the role that whatever these elements of the past have played in your life, and to figure out what it is that you have learned from that, and then keep yourself firmly grounded in the present moment, because there is a lot going on in the present moment, and there are influences that can be distracting and that are not necessarily what they seem on the surface. And your ability to have insight into yourself, insight into your responses to your environment, may be the most important barometer or guide tool of your being that you have, is how you feel when you walk into a room, whether that's a home or a museum or an office or something. How do you actually feel in that space? Your attenuation to beauty is also a kind of psychic canary in the coal mine type of thing, where if you start to feel faint or de-energized in a physical place, do not assume that it's only you. You are that which is responding to that environmental factor. And you might want to find out what the factor in the environment actually is. Same can be said of people. And your tendency is going to be, I think, to be really helpful. There's a number of factors that kind of accentuate the service quality, particularly the closer that you get to someone and the more inwardly aware you are of who they are. And here's where you need to be careful, because the vehicle of healing is a two-way vehicle, and wherever there is the capacity to help, there is the capacity to both harm and to get hurt. And the way to protect yourself against either of those two negative outcomes is to be extremely sensitive to the environment and the situation, and basically not be where you don't belong. And be generous with yourself about that. If you get the feeling consciously, if the lights come on and says, you need to be somewhere else, you need to be somewhere better, the chances are that you've been noticing that for quite a long time. And then it just sort of registered as a fully conscious thought for you. And there are some very good places to be and some really amazing places to go and some fabulous thought experiments that you're going to have as long as you don't try to keep your moorings too tight. This is a time of motion, of structuring, of cleaning house, of making sure that the emotional material that you carry in your body is not just simply a whole collection of things obtained in the past, as is the case of most of our brothers and sisters on this planet, do a lot of dragging around the past. And not only is that impractical and not especially helpful, you are very well situated to not have that and to be able to be in an active process of clearing internal space, getting ready for some really fabulous renovation that is in the process of happening. Now, of the other signs I suggest you read, the two that are coming to mind, read and listen to, are Sagittarius and Pisces. These will contain alternate information for you. They are closely related to how to tune into and align with your environment. There's a lot going on for you, in which I will be able to explain in the more planned, written portion of this. Usually it's easier for me to do the audio, but the developments in your chart in 2015 are very subtle. You have been in kind of a certain weather pattern for a while, and that weather pattern is going to hold, but these other sublime changes come in. You know, for example, your attenuation to language and communication modalities as being absolutely vital, along with your psychic sense of who is right and what is right. And all of these are adding up to a role where you will thrive if your daily purpose in life is connected to the subtlety of who you are and what you perceive. So I'm going to keep mulling this over and, seeing what messages come out. It's somewhat unfamiliar territory, which is a lot of what life is about right now. And I'll catch you over in the written portion, and if you are Libra Sun, over at your rising sign. Bye for now.